It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In Romans chapter 2, we find more about the judgment of God. And we see what Paul is talking about here. And as we look, we find that God makes no mistakes. God sees everything. He's a righteous judge. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds?" Well, speaking of God here, the principle of judgment is that God's judgment is just. He makes no mistakes. Every man will get exactly what he deserves. Now, first of all, as we look at this, God will render or give back to every person. And this is each person according to their deeds or their works. You see, God evaluates a man's or a woman's works and judges accordingly. And this means appropriately. Well, the penalty will perfectly fit the crime, in other words. And in this case, in this verse, it talks about deeds, and that is the crime. Notice here that people will be judged according to their words, not only works, but by words. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 through 37 speaks of this, and it goes on to say, then they'll be judged according to their works. And words, Matthew 16:27, and note this about Matthew 16:27. This verse is not about the judgment seat of Christ, where Christians will stand. In other words, the saved person. But it's speaking about the white throne judgment. In Matthew 16:27, it says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Well, this is speaking of the unsaved person standing at the white throne judgment. Keep in mind that the judgment for the saved person took place on the cross of Calvary. Christ was judged for our sin. In other words, those people who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. Well, notice that in verse 6 of Romans chapter 2, it says that God's going to repay. He will render or pay. He will repay people for the evil they've done. Now, once again, we're talking about unsaved people. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." It's the Lord who's going to be the judge. He is the judge. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it talks about the dead, small and great, speaking. Of course, this is speaking of the unsaved people at the white throne judgment. They'll stand there at the white throne judgment, and then every knee is going to bow, and they're going to name Jesus Christ as Lord, but it's too late at that point. And remember this, if you've never trusted Jesus, today is the day to do it. Don't wait until the day when you are forced to recognize him as the Savior. Recognize him today and ask him to come into your heart. Don't wait until he judges you at the white throne judgment and says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Well, that's too late. Ask him to save you today. Well, thankfully, God is not only a God of justice, but he is also a God of grace. According to justice, sin must be judged and punished, and that's the reason for the white throne judgment. And that's the reason people go to hell. According to grace, sin can be pardoned and forgiven. In Psalm chapter 103, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Well, the wonderful truth of the gospel is that God can be gracious to sinful men without compromising his justice. He's just, and he wants to save you today if you've never received Christ as your Savior. As we look in Romans chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, it says this, "To them who, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Now, I'm going to stop here and say this. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Well, Paul goes on to say in verse 8 here of Romans chapter 2, he says, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil of the Jew first and also to the Gentiles, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God." Well, notice the principle of judgment here. God punishes those who do evil and rewards those who do good. And in verse 7, you see the word eternal. It's speaking of eternal life there. Eternal life, there is how God will reward those who do good. In verse 8, God will reward those who do evil with his indignation and wrath, God's punishment for sin. And notice in verse 9, it talks about tribulation. Well, this is affliction and anguish, extreme anxiety or emotional torment. It's how God will reward those who do evil. And notice verse 10. God shows glory. He exalts, he honors, he shows great respect and provides peace, tranquility to those who do good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And verses 9 and 10 show that. Now, there is no respect of persons with God, according to verse 11. And then we see that it's to the Jew first. And this means that the Jews had already received God's message of forgiveness. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it speaks of this. It says, it says this there, to the Jew first. And it's seen throughout the Scriptures. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 says this, "Unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required." You see, the Jews had been given much, but many had refused Jesus Christ. Well, notice Romans chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Well, now here's another principle of judgment. There is no partiality with God. And verse 12 continues the thought of verse 11. God is not partial. He does not show unfair preference in judgment. All people are treated the same. And notice this in God's judgment. God does not favor the Jews, his chosen people, over the Gentiles. Both Jews and Gentiles will be judged fairly. And notice also, those who are without law are the Gentiles referred to here, as we see in verse 14. It says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves." Well, it's speaking here, of course, of the Gentile. And those who have had the law are the Jews. In Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, it says this, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. And notice, according to the first part of verse 12 that we just read, and we've read that before, that the Gentiles, or the heathen people, who have sinned without law will perish. And this sheds light on the question, are the heathen lost? People perish without the truth. People perish without turning to Jesus. People perish without recognizing the things around them. Remember in chapter 1, as you read that, how that we have the witness of nature. Everything around us that God made, there is no excuse. The heathen have no excuse when it comes to accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If they refuse Him, there is no excuse. Now, verses 13 through 15 of Romans chapter 2, it says this, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Well, here's a principle of judgment, that a person is judged according to the life which he has. And once again, Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 says, "To whom much is given, much also is required." You see, first the Jew possessed the law of God in written form. And we have that in the Ten Commandments, and it goes on. And all through the Old Testament, we see this. But notice that the Jew had been given much light. The Jew will be judged by that law which he has. And third, as we think of this, the Gentile who does not have the law will not be judged by that law. He will not be held accountable for what he does not have. But the Gentile does have something. The Gentile has been given some light, and he will be judged according to the light which he does have. The Gentiles did not have the law of Moses, but there was another law which they did have. If you'll notice in verse 15, it says, "which show the work of the law written in their hearts, for their conscience speaking," and of course this is speaking of the Gentiles. It goes on to say, "also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another." People are without excuse, because God has placed within us the ability to make right decisions. In verses 13 through 15, we see that it's a parenthetical. In other words, the structure here is that of what's called inverted parallelism, also known as chiism or chiasm, and can be simply explained as follows. In verse 13 through 15 are parenthetical, and verse number 2 and or 12 refers to the Gentiles who do not have the law. And verse 12 refers to the Jews who have the law, and verse 13 refers to the Jews. Verses 14 and 15 refer to the Gentiles. Well, there are so many parallels that we can see here going back and forth between the Jew and the Gentile, but the main thing is that all are without excuse. And that means unless you receive Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. Won't you accept Him today as Lord and Savior? These verses may be confusing to you, but God says you are without excuse without trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are bound for a devil's hell.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.